Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations. Today is Monday, August 21st, 2017, and I am Dave Hamilton here sitting in for Mr. Jeff Gamet, who is out viewing the eclipse somewhere north of his normal homestead. Joining me today, though, I have Mr. Jeff Butts. Jeff, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. And John Martellaro. How you doing, John?
I'm doing good. I'll be viewing the eclipse soon myself.
Yeah, same. That's right. We'll get this done for all of you, prioritizing all of you, and then we'll take a moment for ourselves. All right. We had a couple of interesting stories. We're going to talk about Apple's new movie deal and a scam call. But our sponsor for this week is Eero. We're at eero.com. You can use coupon code TDO to get free overnight shipping in the USA and Canada for their fantastic mesh product. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, John, I want to talk about this Apple Blockbuster movie deal. Will you tell us, give us some context?
Yeah, it's not a deal yet. But okay. On Friday, Bloomberg reported, Uzanushka Sakul, not our friend Mark Gurman, reported that both Comcast and Apple were in negotiations with Warner Brothers and Universal to bring debut first-run theatrical movies in theaters to Apple TV and to Comcast in 17 days after release for about $50. And then sometime thereafter, I think it was about a month, which is earlier than the normal, for about $30. And this is very interesting to me because we've seen discussions like this before where there is this great tension with the theater owners. What's driving this is the decline in DVD sales. And the studios are keen to make up the lost revenue from declining sales. You know, they always want to grow. They always want to prosper. And they don't like to see downward trends. So they've cooked up this idea that there are people who might want to see a theatrical release movie very soon on their Apple TV or, you know, on Comcast and pay a more than normal sum. And this would help offset the DVD revenue. And of course, the theater owners would be very resistant to this. They claim that they make up half the total revenue of a movie and it's climbing. And the studios are saying, well, it's climbing because the DVD sales are down and you're a bigger fraction of the income. So don't get so excited.
Right. Yeah.
And then the studio said, well, tell you what, we'll do revenue sharing with you. So we'll take some of this extra money we're grabbing from people and we'll distribute it to the movie theaters to offset your pain. And you know how that's going to go. So over a 10-year period. Yeah. So this is very interesting to me that the studios are seriously thinking about this. No deal has been done yet, but the Bloomberg article suggests that it might still be in the cooker.
Yeah, so we've heard about this. This is not the first time this news has sort of bubbled up that conversations like this are happening, right?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, but the fact that it's gotten, you know, it seems like this time around it's much further along than what we've heard previously.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. This part about the studios paying off the theaters, that's a little weird to me, although there are several theater chains that have ownership structures that sort of go back and are tied to the ownership structure of the movie studios. So that's perhaps from that standpoint, it's not entirely surprising, but it is kind of weird saying, hey, you know, it would be like Apple, you know, going to Sherlock some app and saying, yeah, we're going to pay you off over 5 years because we're about to take a feature away from you. It would seem to me that the burden would then be put on the theaters, as it has been for a while now, to make the experience of going to the theater more attractive than being in your living room.
Speaking of being attractive, the biggest complaints are people who talk, people who use their phones, who light up the studio with their displays,
of course, sticky floors.
People banging on your seat. I went to a show one time and these two teenage girls behind me just had a great fun banging their feet on the back of my seat, which because it reclines had some, you know, generous movement ability.
Sure. But you know, like and certainly in the last 5 years, but even over the course of say the last 15, we've seen movie theaters do substantial upgrades and enhancements.
Oh yeah, food at your seat.
Food, yeah, right. Well, and just reserved seats alone was a huge game changer. Not having to get there early and fight for a seat and all that. Reserved mm-hmm. seats. A lot of theaters now have liquor licenses, so they can serve beer or wine.
What? Right.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, not all of them, but certainly but some of
the
them.
The question is, does that trump the experience of a high definition or a 4K display in your living room where you're, you know, only meters away from the kitchen and have surround sound? Does it trump it?
I think it does. And, you know, I don't see a reason. I mean, look, if I can have truly the dinner and a movie experience, right, where it's like, you know what? I don't want to cook tonight. I don't want to do dishes. I want to go out, but I want to watch a movie. Like being able to do that not at home, it has a similar allure to just going out to eat instead of, you know, cooking at home. So I can see where there is a model where you might want to go out. In some movies, it's actually interesting to see with other people in the theater. Some movies, it's absolutely not interesting to see with other people in the theater. So
and the other thing here is that, you know, even though I have a fairly large 4K display, there are movies that the first time I see them, it has to be on the big screen.
There is that.
It just has to be. It just has to be.
Yeah.
Anything by Star Wars, anything Lord of the Rings.
Is that enough to drive the wider audience into the theaters for an ordinary everyday movie?
I don't think ordinary everyday movies like that. That's exactly the point. There are so many movies where the experience at home is better than the experience in a theater. And I'm taking out all of the things I just added, like dinner and, you know, drinks and a social experience and all of that. If it's just going to watch the movie, then no. But, you know, there's also this $30 to $50 price tag for getting the you know, still in theaters or just released movie delivered to your screen.
I'd love to see the Excel spreadsheet for that.
It's not a bad number, though.
Showing how many people are going to pay $50 for a movie 17 days after release. There's some wish and a prayer involved in that spreadsheet.
I don't think so. Go ahead, Jeff. Yeah,
we've talked about this before. If it was just one person paying $50 for that movie, I would totally agree with you. But what about when you want to get a group of people together and you all chip in?
Yeah, there's that. Or even just your family members.
That's split it. Yeah. I mean, it's $10 a ticket in general. I mean, I can go see movies, you know, for $8, but I know in some areas of the country it's $15. So if you look at $10 a ticket as kind of your median, $30 is actually cheaper than bringing my family of four to the movies. And I get a pause button for that. There's a big deal about a pause button.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the key sentences in the Bloomberg article was that some of the biggest proponents, Warner Brothers and Universal, are pressing on in ways to, pressing on ahead with the project, even without the theater chains. Sources said,
right.
So,
right.
They are eager to do this.
Yeah.
They should be. I mean, look, this is embracing the future or embracing the now, or perhaps even embracing the recent past. Like this is the, where we are with this. And to me, it makes perfect sense that we would open this option.
You bring up change. And the first thing I thought of when you talked about change and evolution was the demise of the outdoor drive-in theater.
Right. They're not all dead, but nope. You know, but again, they retain kitsch value. There is one drive-in theater within driving distance from me. And, you know, people still go once a summer to do that and savor that experience. But that's okay. And that's okay. And this theater's actually made a living. You know, they've got a business model that works for that. But it's not for every movie like it used to be.
Is this the beginning of the end of the indoor movie theater, or do you see it as lingering on a lot longer?
I think it'll linger on longer, but I think it will be relegated to either, like you said, Jeff, certain movies where absolutely you want that big screen experience, or the kitsch value of, yeah, oh, it's fun to go to the theater and we can get dinner and, you know, that kind of thing. They just got to change their model. It's
yeah,
that's all. We can get this stuff delivered.
Thing. Yeah. With this mobility thing that Apple's on the bandwagon, and so many people watching video on their iPads and iPhones, and the carriers pushing video onto your, you know, mobile phone, it seems to me like there are a lot of people who are very happy to watch a video on a phone or an iPad. And
totally.
That could be part of the changing generational thing.
David Lynch says it's a horrible sadness, but it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. All right. I want to talk about our sponsor for this episode, which is Eero. I have been an Eero user user is the right term for that, for a long time now. And they have saved me and many of my friends and family members from having to build a quasi mesh in your home and manage multiple routers and access points from different interfaces and all of that. Eero's mesh is smart, it's simple, and it works. In fact, I just got an email from a listener who said he spent the weekend setting up Eero. He says, now, mind you, I was alone in my home, but if someone were to be walking by, and this guy's a fairly technically savvy person, he had all of that, like, you know, multiple airport expresses to get coverage and having to deal with it all. And he set up the new Eero Pro setup, which is three of the second generation Eeros that now have tri-band radios in them, so 2.5 gigahertz and 1 2.4, and its setup is really easy. You just do it with your phone. You set up the first one, and then it tells you to set up the second one. You set up the third one, and if you want more than three, you just keep going and keep setting them up. And he said if anybody walking by his house would just have heard him saying, seriously, that's it, it just works all the time, because it's true. That's how it is. These Eeros are just built to work together. They will connect themselves to each other, either wirelessly or wired. Most of us don't have wires in our walls, so they're going to do wirelessly, which is fine. But if you've got wires in your walls, you can use them, and Eero's just smart enough to just do that. Like I said, they've got two. They're on their second generation of hardware, which also introduces a new form factor in what they call the Eero Beacon. The Eero Beacon is a device that just plugs right into your wall outlet and is part of the mesh. It's got dual radios in it. It participates in the mesh, and you can get an Eero kit that's got a second generation Eero with the three radios and then two beacons that you can place elsewhere in the house. They manage your devices. It's simple. You don't have to think. It just does it. And the beacons plugged into your wall outlets also have nightlights in them if you want to use that. Very, very, very cool stuff. Like I said, it's life-changing. It's worth checking out. And they've got a deal for you. So go to Eero.com, place your order for whichever setup is the right one for you, and then choose free overnight or choose overnight shipping. Add that to your cart. It's available for both US and Canada. And now you'll use coupon code TDO to make that overnight shipping free. So remember, go to Eero.com, Eero.com. You will add overnight shipping for you in either the US or Canada. And then you'll use coupon code TDO to make that shipping free. Got to check it out. Eero.com, Eero.com, the wireless mesh of the future that you can use right now. Our thanks to Eero for sponsoring this episode. All right. The second story I want to talk about today is something that Brian Chaffin put together, which is that there are now scam phone calls claiming to be from Apple support, because, of course, there's lots of people using Apple devices, and They want to either get money out of you or get access to your device. The result of these calls can be one of two things. It can be someone that is trying to sell you a service for cleaning a virus that you don't have, or a problem that you don't have. But and they'll often charge you somewhere between $100 and $400 for this. And they just prey on inexperienced users. The other one is they want to get access to your computer to install ransomware. What ransomware is software that goes and encrypts your data so that you cannot get it unless you know the key or the password to decrypt your data. And they will happily sell you the password for, you know, somewhere between $1 and $500. Neither one of these is great. Oftentimes, the ones that scam you to fix a virus that you don't have actually wind up also installing software that would protect you against future viruses. So it's a scammy way of marketing their product, and probably at a price premium that you shouldn't be paying, but at least they're not quite as bad as the people that are encrypting your data and holding it hostage or for ransom. So I wanted to talk with you guys. Have either of you experienced one of these calls? Have you talked with one of the the proprietors or salespeople at one of these places?
No, I don't answer the phone.
Me neither.
Smart.
If it's not in my contacts list, I don't answer it.
Yeah, if it's important, they'll leave a message.
That's smart. Well,
but you know what? I have a thought on this. In a perverse way, I'm actually glad to see this happening. Okay. And the reason why is because it shows that Apple is gaining traction and actually has some relevance in mainstream.
It's true.
For this to be a thing.
Yeah, these are targeting Mac users, not iOS users. So it very much speaks to the fact that there are plenty of Macs in use by folks out there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of perverse and maybe a little bit sadistic, but I think the moral of the story is that those of us who are heavily involved in the Mac sphere and know people who aren't quite so involved but are in it, we need to lend a helping hand.
Yeah. All right. So let's come up with the top three pieces of advice that we can give to anyone, ourselves, but also those, like you said, that we care for and service and take care of. I think number one would be Apple's probably not going to call you to tell you that you have a problem.
Right.
Right. And if they do, offer to call them back and only call them back at the phone number that's on Apple's website. That, to me, that would be step number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or offer to bring it into a Genius Bar.
Even better. But that, I mean, that's only good if you're close enough to a Genius Bar to do that.
Well, correct. Just go to TMO and check the news or your other favorite websites. Gulp, gulp. And be well read about what's going on. Because if something really did happen like this, it would be all over Twitter and it'd be all over the internet. And it wouldn't take you long to bump into a news site that would be discussing the reality of it. Don't take people's word for these things over the phone.
Right.
Some stranger calls you on the phone and says, Apple's been hacked, and your response should be, oh, really? I haven't read the news about that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, so that's step one. Step two, providing remote access to your computer. The person, and Apple will do this sometime, where they will they will actually want to get access to your computer.
But all they'll need is your iCloud account that you're signed into the computer with.
That's
because
right.
I've been through this.
I have
they,
too.
They will not give you a link to download some software to let them in, which is what a lot of these scammers do. Right. So, yep. There you go. Never.
I had some trouble with two-factor authentication, and I had a brilliant Apple tech log come into my computer through iCloud, through my iPad, actually.
Yep.
And you got the blue bar across the top, and he saw exactly what was wrong and fixed it brilliantly, and it was amazing.
Now, I can't remember, John. Do they have you turn on screen sharing for that to work, or do they have a back door?
I don't remember. I don't think they need screen sharing turned on. I think it's a built-in feature.
I think it comes up and it asks you permission, and you say yes.
Yes, that it does.
Yeah. All right. So that's number two. Never go to a link that that they offered to use to control your computer. I mean, Apple might send you to a knowledge base article, but that would be at apple.com for sure. And again, Apple isn't going to call you unless you've asked them to.
Right.
You can go to their website and say, set up a call. You put in your phone number and your phone will ring right away. Unless that's the reason your phone is ringing, it ain't Apple. That's not true. If you've got an ongoing case with Apple, it is not uncommon for them to follow up with a phone call. But they will have your case number. Most of the time, it will be the exact same person with whom you have spoken in the past. Or they will at least know the history and be able to see it all. So,
And not going to call you just out of the blue.
No, they're not. And if they do, there's actually, I said we'll go to three things, but I want to add two. Number one, Apple will know your serial number. So ask them to tell you your serial number if you don't trust that it's them. Mm-hmm. You can see it by going to the Apple menu about this Mac and then tap. actually, it's right there in overview in Sierra. You don't even have to click through anymore. And it's right there. It'll tell you your serial number. Don't give it to them. They will know it and give it to you. And then the last thing is Apple will never ask you for your credit card to install software to fix your computer.
Right.
That's just not something they do these days.
Well, in general, you should never give your credit card number to somebody who calls you.
That's ever. Good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Before we wrap up, does anybody have anything else you want to share?
No.
All right. John, anything else?
Well, I use protection software from Intego to make sure that anything that comes into my Mac is filtered and checked.
Yep.
And I think that's good advice. It helps protect your machine. And if your machine is running fine and you haven't had any problems, all the reason to be more suspicious of somebody who says you do have a problem.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Malwarebytes just released a new version 3.0 of their software that does real-time monitoring, and Drive Genius now version 5.0 from ProSoft also does real-time malware monitoring. So it's not a bad thing. We are under attack. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Yeah. And it is worth running something. Even if it's just to scan it once a week to make sure you haven't kind of pulled something in, it's not like Windows yet, thank goodness, but it is worth paying attention to. So, yep. All right. Thanks guys. Jeff, were you about to say something or am I about to cut you off?
Well, until you said that, because I didn't know about Malwarebytes new version.
Right.
And that might do away with the need for my workaround to run Malwarebytes periodically.
Correct. It does. Although you have to buy an annual subscription from them to get that real-time monitoring, which I think is about $40 a year. So your workaround might still be quite valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Jeff, thanks for joining us. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. John, thank you so much for your time and experience and expert advice today.
Aw, shucks. Thank you.
See you later. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow.